In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
I read something this morning, and it was talking about a road, man, being on the road. And it brought me back, where's golf at? Saint, Soul, Frank, Deck. It brought me back to we were 2-6 in 2022. We had just beaten Green Bay at home. We had not won a road game in 2 years, AG, Ben, right? We had not run a road game in like 2 years. So what are you going to do? You know, now the thing is about road games, road games. We were 0-11-1. 0-11-1 on the road, 21, half of 22. And then we went to Chicago and got it. We got our first dub, and since then we're 16-5 on the road, man. And every one of you are a part of that. Every one of you are a part of that. That's big, man. 16-5 on the road, all right? So we're road warriors. We're also damn good at home.
Okay, my guy, go get him. I don't have to tell you that that's Dan Campbell, but I will anyway. And calling the game on Westwood One Radio tomorrow. Won't be able to hear him in Chicago, unfortunately, but maybe on Sirius XM. Perhaps you can find Jason Benetti's call of the game alongside another friend of the show in Ryan Leaf. Jason Benetti is on Twitter at Jason Benetti and is with us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hello, fine sir. How are you?
Hi, Dan and Layla. How are you?
We miss you. Sorry, I don't mean to sound so forward and obvious there, but it's just true.
Well, I still live. I'm around. I'm not here as much. So, hi, happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jason. And we're very happy to have you on.
Thank you.
And love at the Kansas game. Not only did you give us you mentioned the term sack machine, which was very special in these parts, but then at the end, if people were just tuning in and they didn't understand what was being chanted, or they were asking, why are the Jayhawks fans chanting Dan McNeil? They weren't. It was Devin Neal, but I was just creasing myself laughing to hear, you know, this 80,000 people going Dan Neal. Like what happened? Were we talking musky fishing all of a sudden?
But I'm always chanting Dan McNeil.
it was a hell of a game though. I mean, that was a really fun one.
It was. I mean, it's such an interesting, you know, you do enough games and you have to go figure out what makes that game, that one individual game. And sometimes it presents itself to you in a very front-facing way. Like Kansas football in 2020 was 0-9. They fired Les Miles. It was a disaster. Lance Leipold shows up. They go 2-10 the next year. Still not great. And now, you know, they open 5-0 the next year and all this stuff. But the reason they weren't playing their senior day, Devin or Dan McNeil or whoever it is, the reason he wasn't playing his senior day in Lawrence is because they got good enough that they forced the hand of the administration to renovate their stadium. So when you think about cool moments for senior day, they forced themselves into an NFL stadium because they got good enough that they had to upgrade their facility. It was a really cool moment. And the best thing about Devin Neal is that Lawrence High School, where he went, their mascot is the Chesty Lions.
Okay.
It is.
Why? So why the extra adjective there?
So we said to Devin that when we first sat down with him last year, we were like, oh, Lawrence Lyons. He goes, no, Chessy Lyons. And we're like, excuse me? You can't. You probably can't say that. And he pulls up a picture of the mascot of Lawrence High School, and it's a lion with its chest puffed out because he's really proud and excited that he's going to go run roughshod over Free State High School or something or other.
Why can't it just be like Boasty Lions or something like that?
Nope, they're the Chesty Lions. Layla.
Well, how about these lions then, if you are doing all of your appropriate homework for this game? I mean, you know, obviously, that the one team is so heavily favored and they're headed in completely opposite directions. What storylines, when you frame the significance of this NFL game, stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, the Bears, you all have lived it, right? You're taking the calls. But the Bears have found ways to lose that are just beyond the scope of reality over the course of, you know, the last five games. Obviously, the Commanders won, but then there have been others, right? Missed field goals and shenanigans and all sorts of stuff. And it's not exactly where the Lions were, but you guys played it when Dan Campbell was on the way into this segment. Like, the Lions have become the team that if you're not careful, or maybe if you're too careful, you're going to get blown out. I mean, I had the Titans the week after they played the Lions. And to have a team in the NFL have over 260 yards of return yards in a game, I mean, the Titans outgained the Lions and lost by about a trillion. And so the issue is their defense. They've lost, you know, Aiden Hutchinson. They've had all the injuries on the front four, but they've held their own. But part of the way they've held their own is the turnovers. Those safeties in the back end are such ball hawks. They create the good, positive spots for their offense to be in. So my feeling is the Bears are going to be competitive if they play really clean football, and that has been a struggle at points.
There's no doubt about that, and we were talking about how much the Lions would actually cover. I still think they probably do, just because they're due at home on Thanksgiving, and we've seen the Bears' run defense just get absolutely gashed. How do you anticipate the Lions' run game working tomorrow?
The problem is that they have so many options, you know? I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown has obviously had a marvelous season, and that has cut into Sam Laporta's production in part, but he's still certainly a weapon. And Jameson Williams and you know, Sonic and Knuckles, obviously, are major weapons. Well, we didn't know David Montgomery as Knuckles back in the day, but he's Knuckles now. And the scary part is the amount of weapons and the amount of precision. I don't have my board in front of me, but they've had three games where they've, maybe four games, it's not one, games where they've had more turnovers caused by the defense than incompletions. Like, it's just, they're playing such surgical football. And the other problem for the Bears is Caleb Williams has been sacked so many times that this front, even if they're not great at sack creation right now, still might be able to do that. So what I'm watching right out of the chute is turnovers, yeah, but like second and long, third and long. And if the Bears get into those short fields for their defense because their offense can't produce, it could be a really long day.
And now that I realize it, the fact that this is a literal home game for you, that's kind of cool to have a, you know, major national game and you're right there. Is the city as Lions crazed as I imagine it would be, and particularly coming off what you and the Tigers went through with the relatively unlikely and exciting playoff run this year? It's a good time to be a Detroit sports fan.
The answer is absolutely, and it started with the Lions last year. Like, when I took the job in November of last year, Lions fever was in full swing. And, I just watching that playoff run when they got that step short of the Super Bowl, you could tell that that place is bonkers. So it's going to be nuts tomorrow. But the Red Wings almost made the playoffs last year. They kind of charged hard and almost tigers the NHL at the end of the year last year. And then the Tigers situation, and now the Lions, you know, look a lot like the best team in the NFC. So, yeah, the place is going to be absolutely bonkers. And I do think it's interesting that Caleb Williams hasn't done a Sunday to Thursday turnaround yet. I know that was, you know, public and it was part of his media session, but I also think like the short week and all that goes into it, plus the crowd and the frenzy that it's going to be, it's going to be a really, really tough environment for the Bears to go into.
What have been your observations just about how the Lions have either remained consistent or improved this season? I go back and I'm looking at their 10-1 record, Jason, and I'm going, how did they end up losing to Tampa Bay? But it's the NFL. You're going to lose to somebody inevitably.
They dominated Tampa Bay, though. Like, they outgained Tampa Bay in that game. Like, they should have honestly won that game, and they should be undefeated. But, you know, I think part of what they've done is exactly what the Tigers did. You know, use everybody on your roster to their maximum capacity and create opportunity. Like, it is rare in the NFL that you lose, you know, 3-4 starters on a defensive line and can plug those holes in any substantial way, and they have. I mean, it's in part because their back end in the secondary has been so good at creating turnovers. I do think a little bit of it is the turnover creation, right? I think they've been so good at getting the football that they've put the offense in that sort of trance state where they're almost playing make it, take it. So that's part of it. And, you know, Jake Bates too, right? Like, he doesn't miss. Special teams been really good. I'm a huge Torrey Taylor fan, by the way. My college football crew makes fun of me for our game that we had Iowa last year against Wisconsin because they were like, are you going to talk about anything other than Torrey Taylor in this game? So, you know, I'm just looking out for really good punting tomorrow.
I've been watching some of these games that are on while we're doing our show here and seeing the Maui Invitational, and it sort of makes me think about Bill Walton. And it's one of these first times when I realized, oh, yeah, Bill Walton's not here anymore. And it kind of makes me sad. I'm sure it does the same for you.
Yeah, it's hard. I actually have not watched much of it just because I miss him. I miss him every day. We have a number of text threads going about Bill and about Maui and, you know, to see it back in Lahaina and to see the tribute that ESPN did. I think about him quite often. And I think about just like going in and believing that I was going to sit down and like the open was at least going to just be an open. You know, and I got, I would say, 10 words into the open, and here he went. And it was a psychedelic wrecking ball for the rest of our time that we were friends. And I just, I really, really miss him, especially now, because that's the place where our friendship got forged. And we were so close, a couple members of our crew, I might have said this when we were talking about Bill after he passed, so pardon me, but we were so close to a situation. We had it all booked where I was going to go zip lining with Bill. But a couple members of our crew got sick, and so we weren't able to do it. But we were, after day one of the Maui Invitational, we were very close to me and Bill on a zip line, which the only problem that would have come from that is I never would have gotten the Tigers job because I would have been deceased.
Well, we're glad you're here. And I know that the hot stove is warming up, Jason, but when it comes to what you see for the Tigers this upcoming season, especially now that Cy Young winner is also on that team. Congratulations to Tarek Skubal. And I feel like there is respect being given.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to build. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, but the one thing that the Tigers have gotten really good at is refurbishing pitchers back to their previous state or better. You know, Michael Lorenzen 2 years ago, Jack Flaherty last year, obviously a part of the World Series winners with the Dodgers. The Tigers have become a destination, and Chris Fetter, the pitching coach, and Robin Lund, the assistant pitching coach, who actually was at Iowa, he's a Big Ten guy for a number of years, where he learned and plied his trade. But those two guys have become a destination for free agent pitchers. So I have to imagine there's going to be somebody else on that list where you're like, yeah, you know, maybe it's a flyer, and then suddenly they get really good. So I think they have created an opportunity for themselves to be one of those places that people go and maybe take a little bit less because they feel like their career is going to get kickstarted again. And then, you know, offensively, I just don't know where they go in the free agent market because a lot of the positions are occupied by young talent, you know, not just like young bodies, but young talent. And so it's an interesting moment in time for them because they made this run with a core that they cherish, but then what, you know? And I think that's a decision they're going to have to make position by position. But I do feel like they've been so good at reformatting pitching that they're going to do it again.
Why aren't you on Blue Sky yet?
Is that the television show with
no,
Bingo?
No, stop, stop. I've got friends on Blue Sky who say that you're going to fit in beautifully into this different and lovely and troll-free environment.
All right, I'll do it.
Yes!
I'll do it. I'll do it. I haven't yet. I'm kind of been off social media for the most part, and I actually can tell you that I feel really good. So I'm kind of keeping that going, but I'll join.
Okay.
You've convinced me. I'll join.
Blue Sky will make you feel better about social media. I will tell you that because just the way it operates, the way it's arranged, it's non-algorithmic. It's back to it's only you talk to the people you want to talk to, and it's actually having conversations with things that are not Russian porn bots or creations.
I'll miss them. So,
about just bitter people? We seem to get a lot of those.
You said non-algorithmic. I thought you were going to say non-alcoholic. I thought it was the
no.
Zima.
Oh, God,
I thought
no.
It was the Zima of social media.
No, nobody would want that. And also, I think that if there is a special closed-circuit channel or a YouTube live of just watching you eat Thanksgiving dinner, I know to whom I would send the link.
Oh, it's not just one person. Maybe it's just one person.
Just say, hey, by the way, check this out. This is nothing but a live stream video of Jason Benetti eating whatever he wants on camera.
In a very large ballroom at a hotel, and nobody else is in there. It's just
correct.
Me with like 12 dishes.
In a tux, yes.
In a candelabra.
Tux and a candelabra and a piano. I love it. All right, Jason.
Right, and like Gallagher's assistant or something.
Not around, actual Gallagher.
You know, people around you covered in ponchos just in case. Yes.
Right.
Jason, be well. Have a good call tomorrow and have a lovely holiday. Best to you and yours.
To you too, to both of you. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And thank you for having me once again.
Of course.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jason. You are missed.
That is Jason Benetti, my former intern and as Mike Mulligan says, a valued friend.
He is a valued
friend.
Yes,
I know. I know.
Don't forget, local guy made good, right? That's the other
yes.
He is a local guy made good.
Yes, that's true. Local guy
Da-da.
Made good.
I'm sorry, Dan. I do want to read the book. It's just, it's become.
Sorry, I know.
It's just such a plot device right now.
It's a mantra. I'm telling you, it's a way of life. Because sometimes you just sit down and you look around and all you want to say is, damn it.
I love the fact that I had a pastrami sandwich, a broadcast unit, a laptop, and Dan McNeil's book for security.
And I was, you know, Ray and I were going to grab the soundbite before, but it didn't work out because the scene takes too long. But when you started listing all of these disconnected things, all I could think of was Steve Martin as Navin Johnson at the end of the wonderful movie The Jerk, where he's like, I'm leaving it. I don't need anything. All I need is this ashtray. That's all I need, and this paddleball game, and this lamp, and that's all I need, and this chair. And he's just adding up all the things. It's all he needs. I'm picturing him behind you with his pants around his ankles at TSA.
I just can't believe I got through. Like, I knew the Comrex might be an issue, but then I'm like, wait. I don't need to take my laptop out because I never travel with my laptop hardly ever. Right. And then I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, I got through security with a pastrami sandwich and a broadcast unit and Dan McNeil's book.
something about that. That combination should not be legal internationally, at least. And yet it is.
I'm going to yell at you about the Bears while eating a pastrami sandwich. Bears.
So when we come back, we are going to... I'm going to offer a possibility here, a realistic possibility of, based on some of the chatter around Halas Hall right now about what's being said, about a non-Bears thing that could be done that I'm thinking now might just be more humane than it is punitive. And we'll hear from the subject of this conversation a little bit later on in the show. On the Score.
Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris, The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When you met with Ryan, George, Kevin, did you receive assurances about your job security through all of this?
You know what? We were not talking about that. We were talking about answers going forward. And that's what the conversation was about.
Yeah. We have a bit of an injury report update for you. I just saw that the Score's Chris Emma is reporting that safety Elijah Hicks and guard Ryan Bates are out. So I presume they will not make the trip. And they get to have Thanksgiving at home with their families. Their
I'm
own
sure
families.
They would rather be playing Bears.
I don't know. I'm not sure of anything at the moment. I will tell you this, and I'm not... I have to be careful that I'm not reporting anything in that sense. But from some people that I talked to, that the feeling up at Halas Hall regarding the immediate future of the coaching staff is not certain based on what the outcome that could occur tomorrow and where everything is right now. And the more I've thought about it, this... My little guy here, Powdered Toast Man, and we've had our fun with Matt Eberflus over the last few years, but it's getting to the point, and you know it. We all knew it when the Dave Wannstedt thing was over until it wasn't over, and it just sort of, you just started to feel bad after a while. And I've talked to people who covered Matt Nagy every day who've said the same thing, that you start to feel bad. And at some point, This is about as over as it gets. This is like the patient is not going to recover. And I'm wondering when it just becomes humane. If on Friday, if they get blown out, or even if they have another loss where something stupid loses the game for them, just to let them go. Let Matt Nagy, if he wants, take a week or two and then maybe call a friend and say, hey, you want me to come over and advise your linebackers? Or some other one-gap scheme needs another voice, or you just can go on a walkabout, put on someone else's quarter zip with a different logo on it, sweatshirt with a different logo on it, just get on with things. It just might be the right thing to do.
Okay, can I just ask you this question to play point-counterpoint, because again, you're not reporting anything.
Mm-hmm.
What makes your feeling about this any different than the one you've had for a year now?
Well, this is the first time that I've actually heard the things that I've been hearing about how over it is. You know,
sources indicate that is the case.
There's obviously, until Virginia pulls the sash in her room, nothing's official. But it's death over there, and there's an understanding. It was obvious to some of us that he should have been fired last year and stayed with the idea that it made no sense to retain him, particularly considering who was available. And those of us who were clamoring for him, this is what over looks like. We've all seen it, and we've all seen it in this town. We've all seen it in other cities. But there's no possible way that it's going to result in his retention this year. So I think that it might just be the finally, and there's just no joy in it. Like, it's getting kind of sad. I think the right thing to do might be like to let him get on with it.
But there's 5 games left in the regular season after Thursday. So it's not like a team is going to pick him up quickly with the last 5 games, you don't think? Like, if we're living in this hypothetical.
The Bears have loved to live in these dead times. They've enjoyed it. You know, I'm reminded here This is an excerpt from something that was written about a Bears head coach. And I'm just going to read it to you, and then I'm going to tell you when it's from. "It starts with me and it ends with me," he said. "I accept complete responsibility, and I think it's important to understand. You learn a lot through this process." That's the quote. And it says, "It sounds like something you'd write in a resignation letter. His fate has been sealed since mangling the game in week 11, if not before that. Everyone can see it, even him. He's been unable to defend his work because there's no defending it. It's reached a stage where there's no real purpose in continuing to ask him about it other than to beat him over the head with his failures. That's pointless and annoying." You know when that was? Who that is?
It could be a lot of people.
It could. That is Jason Leisure on Matt Nagy.
"I obviously, as a head coach, did not do a good enough job of getting this offense ready to go, to be able to play and win a football game. So it starts with me. It ends with me."
That was after week 11. And that was Matt Nagy. And that, again, it's like it's reached a stage where there's no real purpose continuing to ask him about it other than to beat him over the head with his failures. That's pointless and annoying. I think we're there with Eberflus now.
Yeah, I know you do, but the issues of the Bears getting out of a losing streak against a divisional opponent probably factor into his potential job safety. I know we went viral last week talking about that. But also, to me, Brad Biggs has said a couple things that indicate, at least number one, that his reporting says there's 2 years left on this contract. So do you think that the Bears would eat 2 years of contract for a head coach and arguably a lot of the staff?
They've got no choice. They've got no choice. This has to end.
You said that last year, and we keep talking about this, yeah. No indication that they want to change.
There is more indication this year that they want to change, at least based on the phone calls that a lot of people over at Halas Hall are making right now. There's been a lot of chatter. There have been a lot of names of people currently employed by the Bears who are having all kinds of conversations about next year in a way that they didn't last year. Even though a lot of them got fired. Because a lot of them do. A lot of them leave or they get fired for various reasons. And there are a lot of assistants who have different contractual arrangements that don't necessarily have those guarantees. But you don't. I cannot envision... a scenario in which Matt Eberflus is the head coach of the Bears next year. Last year, I could at least envision the Bearsing that one, but and there's offsets for the amount of money that's on these deals. If he lands a job as an assistant, they can subtract the difference. They don't eat all the money.
Fair. I also want to offer the other piece of this that Brad Biggs has reported, that he does think it would take a really big showing in order for the job to be saved. And I feel like that's important when you talk about this as well. That speaks to what you're saying. I just have skepticism when it comes to how they would address it. And then additionally, the timing of the NFL. I think the Robert Saleh situation is an outlier more than it is the norm.
Oh, no doubt it's an outlier. And it was a dumb outlier. That didn't make any sense other than to kowtow to the whims of a lunatic. And now I think the owner may be one as well. That really is a data point that you almost want to throw out because it doesn't make that much sense. But once you start getting around Thanksgiving, and once you start looking at inevitabilities, it's not even so much from a Bears perspective. Is if I were Eberflus, I think I'd want it. You know, if I look, I know the money's going to be there, the minimum, whoever is going to be paying the money, wherever it's offset. But at least you let him get on with salvaging whatever he's going to be, which is going to be a either a top positional coach, assistant head coach, or maybe he gets another shot as a coordinator for a team that wants to run this defense and run his hits principle and all that stuff and still believes in it. But especially if it's really bad tomorrow, this is the first time that I've just heard chatter and rumor and an awareness of an understanding that it could, something could happen that hasn't happened before. And it might just be best for everyone.
Yeah, the question that you're asking is, at what point is it more humane to go than to stay?
Right. And I wonder if that's a consideration. The 630 said, you just called him Matt Nagy. Well, I was reading about Matt Nagy. That was the point. I gave you an article that was written at the same time, almost the exact same week, in the last year of Matt Nagy. And then I revealed that it was about Matt Nagy to illustrate the point of that's where we are with Matt Eberflus.
People don't always listen. I do want to offer this, too. I think when you're trying to make your elevator pitch, the Dan Bernstein elevator pitch for this, it goes back to something we discussed earlier in the week. How much is this time worth? And not to you, but to the organization and to the rookie quarterback. After all the discussion we had about how chaotic it can be to have three offensive coordinators for one quarterback on the same team, how many times do you want to go through this moving forward? And how many years of the rookie quarterback, along with the veterans on this team, who may not have as much time as Caleb Williams does, matter?
Well, it sounds like it mattered to Jalen Johnson.
And I actually think Jalen Johnson was speaking from a more free place because he does have that second contract already. I'm never going to discredit what Patrick Manley says when it comes to the attitude and what he knows, having been in a locker room for so many years. But I think the reason that a couple of people feel freer to speak is because they've earned the right to do so.
And the elevator pitch last year was my hope that they would do it more than it was my certainty, for sure. My last year, my idea was, look, you've got possibilities where you can immediately upgrade. And they knew they had to blow out everything on offense. They knew, except for the offensive line coach, they knew they had a bunch of things they had to fix. And they were so close. They were so close to getting it right. And they could have made a run at Jim Harbaugh and didn't want to. They just didn't. They didn't want to. I'll never get it. I'll never understand why they wouldn't. But their hand has to be forced by overwhelming incompetence.
What's the issue with smart people in jobs sometimes?
They scare people.
They will push back against their supervisors.
Mm-hmm. They scare people. And Harbaugh scares people because he's a weirdo. But he's a specific kind of weirdo that wins football games.
I mean, he just told the world a couple days ago that he would do anything for his brother except lose a football game to him voluntarily.
Well, I just think it's worth keeping an eye on, and I think there are some interesting comments coming out of Lake Forest from people who are wondering exactly when that dam is going to break.
I think your point is also, if not after Thursday, then when?
It's going to be, and it's just such a long slog for that guy from here on in. I mean, the final countdown is only at 24, I think. So he's going to meet the media 24 more scheduled times? That sounds just like the Green Mile for him.
Record, did think you were very certain about this happening last year, but I disagreed, knowing.
I got less certain as the year went on. I was certain when it began, just because of knowing what the expectations were and the players that they were adding, and what it did change this year. Every game has gotten worse. Every game has gotten worse. So, I don't know. Like, they lost all the winnables. All of them.
That's it. Yeah.
Ever since the Hail Mary.
When you look at the schedule, it's just terrifying.
So, next up, did you mention Sonic and Knuckles when we were talking to Benetti?
I did not mention them by name. I think I mentioned the running game. If the people who are in Detroit want to say Sonic and Knuckles, they are welcome to, because I know that that is what David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs have embraced.
Well, I needed it whiteboarded because I mean, I've heard of Sonic, obviously, but I didn't really understand the relationship with Sonic and Knuckles, the two fast, speedy antagonists, perhaps. But we'll dive deeper into that because the Lions are certainly having fun with the comparison. Next on The Score.
Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris, middays 10 till 2.
Vegas! Jared looking out over that defense. Now he leans in. There's the snap. Hands to Montgomery. Bounces left. Yep. Finds the angle. Spinning. End zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Goff out of the gun. Gibbs to his left. Play clock at 5. Jared leans in. There's the snap. Jared hands it to Gibbs over the right side, trying to get to the edge. He will. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Felt the contact. Just kept going outside until he found an opening, and he did.
That's the Lions Radio Network.
Everything's just fun and games in Detroit, man. They're just having a good time. Everybody's having fun. They're just running all over the place. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. And, you know, David Montgomery is no stranger to being a complimentary running back. I do feel like he is actually complimentary.
So Knuckles is an echidna?
I don't know what that means. I just know about the video game Sonic the Hedgehog and Knuckles. And they were a 1-2 punch, similar to Fire and Ice, if you recall, with he and Khalil Herbert. Just different and seemingly more effective.
Yes, Knuckles is a short-beaked echidna who is Sonic's secondary best friend and former rival. Oh, this is way too complicated for me. And is Sonic the Hedgehog as a video game? Is it like a scrolling game, like a Mario game, or are you really, okay? So you're running and doing stuff.
Yeah, and that Sega soundbite that we just played took me to a place mentally and emotionally. I was like, whoa, I haven't heard that in a minute. So everything's just great in Detroit. You know, you can have fun when you're 10-1. You can do interviews. Jared Goff's trying to talk to people. Just listen to the happiness.
It's a special game to be a part of, and I'm glad to be a part of this tradition. What's up? I was like, who's up on me right now? What's up? Oh, we got two.
I asked you after the game a couple weeks ago, Sonic and Knuckles are their nicknames, and I said, what's yours? Have you figured one out yet?
I haven't. What do
you
think?
You guys have one for him?
I'm not here.
Oh, you're not here? Jahmyr, do you have a nickname for your quarterback?
What is your dreams? What, if anything, you're doing different to prepare for Thanksgiving?
Me?
The injuries, yeah. Where are the team?
Nothing really. Just getting ready to go. Yeah, short week's tough. Are these guys talking next? Is that why they're waiting for me? short week's tough, and yeah, we're ready to go.
Hey, Jerry, what's your favorite thing about?
If it's fourth down and one,
yep.
Should you hand it to Jahmyr or David Montgomery?
QB sneak usually is best, you know?
what's your favorite thing about David and your favorite thing about Jahmyr?
Oh, man. My favorite thing about David, gosh. I think my favorite thing seriously about David is how serious he takes pass protection and how much he wants to protect me, and then how funny he is. That's like one of my other favorite things about him. My favorite thing about Jahmyr, I think how much fun he's having when he's playing. Like, that it brings out the joy in me, the kid in me, and you know, he's my son, you know.
So that was Jared Goff being interviewed, and then he was interview bombed by Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery.
And he complimented his pass protection, which is something, you know, I've discussed a lot. Mm-hmm. Man, they're having fun in Detroit. They're just free and easy, and there's no talk about if and when a coach gets fired. And no, they get to enjoy themselves, and Jared Goff gets to be protective of Jahmyr Gibbs. And David Montgomery, who had a personality here that at times got to show a little bit in media sessions, is clearly playing a little more free and a little more easy now, I would assume.
Boy, being on a winning team, being a professional athlete on a winning team in a situation like that, you know, I think it was the old Bears defensive coordinator Greg Blosch always used to say that, you know, winning the game before Thanksgiving or on Thanksgiving makes everything taste a little bit sweeter. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, everything's going to taste a little bit better with a win. So I can imagine how it tastes for them right now.
That's it. Sometimes you have to hear how winning teams talk about things and the locker room exchanges. And similar to us reading an article that not only describes Matt Nagy's situation, but could describe the situation with Matt Eberflus. It's a different place when you're having a good time, when you're not afraid of everything being used against you or said against you, or just anything adding to a resume that's poor and adding up. They're on a different level right now, and I think it shows. It may not always be the outbursts of how their offense can score, but I am not looking forward to the run game that those two are going to bring on Thursday. What did they have? They had like over 130 yards together last week against Indy.
These 137
on 33 carries.
The 708 texter, bursting old man, ha ha, is a 30-year-old video game. Okay, well, there's that was in a time slot, a video game that just kind of missed me. You know, it depends on when you get done playing games, and then, like, you're out of college, and, like, then your kids start to play games. You know those games. But after Atari 2600, after Intellivision, maybe a little bit of ColecoVision, and then we started getting into the Apple IIc and then the Macintosh and all of those games in college, and then the arcade games that were still there. So yeah, I never had a Sega, or I didn't play any of the Mario Brothers games.
That was me.
That was just it was just a different time. I didn't have any of those consoles.
8 and 16-bit Nintendo were my, well, really up to 64. Those were my jams.
What was your favorite game?
Probably Mario 3. Power Pad was pretty great. I'm trying to remember. Tetris is up there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Tetris is a lifestyle.
I love Tetris. It was the arcade version with all the Russian music, and then you'd play it so much, you'd get the, before you fell asleep at night, you'd get like weird falling shapes in your head. Did that ever happen to you? You get Tetris visions?
No.
But
I just view life as Tetris. Whether it's driving or trying to fit something into a space or packing my suitcase full of a pastrami sandwich in Dan McNeil's book, life is Tetris.
And you know who's great at Tetris? The really good union grocery baggers who can take a paper bag, look at everything you've got that has just gone past the cashier, and know exactly what to put in when. Like, that's remarkable to me, the spatial awareness there. That's Tetris.
Sadly, that is, I think, how David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs view the field against opponents.
Mm-hmm. Where's the open space? How do I fit into it as neatly as possible and move on to the next thing?
Man.
Yeah. Let's get back to talking about the Bears specifically themselves. And Caleb Williams had a lot to say about the impact Thomas Brown has made. And we'll bring that to you on The Score.